prepare your puff sleeve dress for episode number 7 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Seriously? Puff sleeves?
Retro Rewind systems initialized. Mission identified. Anne of Green Gables, 1985. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome, everyone, to the Retro Rewind podcast. I'm your host, Francisco Ruiz.
Hello, Francisco.
Hello, Paul. And that, everyone, is Paul Powers, my co-host, as always. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Cool. Good is cool. I don't know.
Good is good.
Good is good, yes. And before we get to introducing our guest host for this episode, as usual, I'd like to ask you, Paul, this isn't the usual question I ask you, but my question for you this time is...
Bring it!
Is, what was the last book that you read, that you finished?
Oh, does audiobook count?
I think so, yes.
Shoot.
That's supposed to make it easier.
I know. The problem is I don't remember. It's by Clive... Okay, you know the movie Sahara with Matthew McConaughey?
I never saw it, but I know
it. Okay, that's based on a series of books written by a particular author, and that's one of his books. And his first book that he wrote was The Mediterranean Caper, and that was the last one I finished reading. And I'm in the middle of actually reading the Sahara right now. I skipped several stories and went straight to Sahara.
Oh, okay.
So that was the last book I read.
Cool. I don't know where to go with that, but...
What was the last book you read?
Actually, the last book I read was The Me I Want to Be by Jeffrey... Not Jeffrey. Hold on.
Fix it in post. This is the time where we leave our guest host just sitting in the corner.
Totally. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
what who is that fresh from her Google Hangout in,
got that
I was gonna say interruption, but I'd like to introduce the guest host for this episode is my lovely wife, Christy Ruiz. How are you doing, Christy?
Fabulous. I'm very excited to get this started.
Oh, good. To get what started?
Podcast.
Oh, my Lanta. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Started. Ha!
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
Well, we will get started, but I actually have one more introduction to make.
Okay. Yeah, the author of the book you read.
Good one.
If it comes to me during the show, I will blurt it out. But no, on our Facebook page, which is Retro Rewind Podcast, Facebook.com/Retro Rewind Podcast. I posted up a poll for voting on the name of our
RRP
Navigator.
Our RRP? How many R's
really
are there?
A mouthful, oh my goodness.
I know, right? So that's why instead of calling her that, we are now going to be calling her Alice. So say hello to everyone, Alice. I just realized I didn't have a sound clip of her saying hello.
That's awkward. Alice
fix
is
it
little...
in post. That's because she's 10 feet tall. You can't hear her.
Yeah, exactly. She's way too far away from the microphone. Though you'd think she'd have a booming voice if she is 10 feet tall.
Not if she has laryngitis.
This is a great topic.
Yeah,
wow. Are we supposed to be talking about Alice in Wonderland? Nice. You guys have me talking about it now.
Bwahaha. No.
So actually, is this named after Alice in Wonderland, or is it named after Alice like Resident Evil Alice? That's
I
what
don't I know. Said. Who submitted that name? I forget.
Maybe it was one of your guys.
It wasn't maybe. Me. I think I said Lilu.
Yeah. I think you actually submitted Alice, but we are way in the weeds of this podcast.
I hate weeds.
Why don't you tell us what we're going to be doing today so we can get back on topic?
All right, today we're going to have our usual new tube segment, And as you heard in the intro, we're going to be doing a roundtable pizza discussion on Anne of Green Gables, finally. And we'll give you our verdict on whether we think Anne of Green Gables is a classic or a second class. And we'll wrap up the show with announcements. And that's it.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I believe that is it. Yes.
Okay.
Alice, engage NewTube.
NewTube systems engaged.
So is that Alice farting or the NewTube segment farting? It sounds like an electronic fart.
You know what? Sorry. We can talk about it at the end of the show after the not the after credits, but gone. After the music. If people really want to stay around and discuss that, we can.
Sure.
But anyways, Christy, will you please tell us what's new on your tube?
I don't know. It's not exciting. Hoorah.
The Marine Corps?
I haven't heard that. What's that?
I don't even know. I'm on drugs.
Wow.
People, it's prescription drugs.
I didn't think we were promoting drugs on our new
prescription drugs for my back.
Oh.
I think that I will say that my new tube, my new thing that I'm doing is I suddenly got a free subscription to the magazine Vogue, and to go right along with my new passion or addiction to collecting and learning how to apply makeup and help to teach other people to do it. It's a, I don't know if you've ever opened up a Vogue, it's highly fashion oriented and style, and there's hardly anything to read. It's just a lot of pictures, advertising pictures. So if you're into modeling or fashion or things like that, it can be very interesting to look at. I didn't buy the subscription. It just showed up at my door. So there you are. I said, thank you.
So is Madonna in there, like showing how to pose and like name dropping and doing different things like that?
The 80s called. They want their reference back.
Oh. We have rewound, or we are about to rewind to 1985. So,
well,
that is highly appropriate, Paul.
Yeah, well, almost.
Well, thank you for sharing that, hon. And Paul, what is new on your tube for this time around?
This time around, went to the movies a couple weeks ago. Saw the latest Die Hard movie.
Ooh, a good day. Was it a good day to Die Hard?
For those people listening into the future way, way far now, you'll be like, which one of the many, 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 many Die Hard movies was that? Is he referring to? It's the fifth one, which is A Good Day to Die Hard. So it features more with Bruce Willis and his son. It's more on their relationship. I thought it wasn't as good as the other Die Hards, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my least favorite, but I thought it did have some good touching moments between father and son trying to reconnect. I thought they did that part well.
Mm-hmm.
It sure looked like an expensive movie to make because there's all kinds of explosions like all throughout it. It's it looks like it was filmed in Russia. Maybe it's cheaper to explode things there, but I don't know. But it's a good movie to turn your brain off if you want to veg for a while and watch.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I just, as you were saying that, a joke came to my mind. You were talking about diehards and people listening in the future. It's time for Die Hard 5000.
Yeah, it's a nice baseball reference.
Thank you. Anyways, though, what's new on my tube for this episode is actually on YouTube, where we serve our little homage to that name for our new tube segment. But anyways, it's the series StarCrafts. A few weeks ago now, you might remember I had the StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm trailer as my new tube pick. But this time it's actually it's a series based on StarCraft, but it's funny, like sort of cutely animated characters from StarCraft in a very humorous shorts. So I'll post a link on the show to all these things, as anyone who's been listening and goes to the site will see. You can find links to all the stuff we talk about. But yeah, it's just a fun series. Quick, I'd say minute to 2 minute shorts. And check it out.
Cool.
Unless you... Actually, if you have no idea what StarCraft is, then you probably won't get it at all. And in which case, I probably wouldn't check it out. But if you know StarCraft, even just StarCraft 1, I'd highly suggest it.
So this isn't a good jumping on point for people who've never...
not really.
Okay, good to know.
I would go... I think you can download the first few missions of StarCraft 2 Wings of Liberty for free. So that would be a good jumping off point. Instead,
jumping on or jumping off?
Let's see. I think it'd be
jumping on. You know, jumping on board, right? Am I right? I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's move on though to our roundtable discussion of Anne of Green Gables.
Pizza time.
Alice, have you found our target for this episode?
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
It's difficult finding a kindred spirit these days.
We're getting a little boy from an orphanage in Nova Scotia.
My name is Anne Shirley. Anne's spelled with me.
Oh, heart, her hair's as red as carrots.
Anne Shirley.
I heard before that you were kind of a strange girl, Anne Shirley. But I have a feeling we're going to get along really well. And I've come to confess.
I'm not interested in the confessions of assassins who masquerade as little girls.
How dare you!
Don't you think Gilbert's handsome?
Anne Shirley, what in the heck are you doing?
Fishing for lake trout.
For lake trout? I only said it because I...
Because
and
what?
And no, I'll never know.
If you want to know, watch the movie.
Exactly. Or just listen to us talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Since it may have been hard to hear about what Anne of Green Gables is about, Chrissy, will you please read the synopsis from the back of the DVD cover?
Yes. Megan follows Tony Award winner Colleen Dewhurst.
Probably just want to skip to like the last sentence.
Academy Award nominee Richard Nice Farnsworth. Wow. Give me some rules right in the middle of reading.
We don't care about these people.
Give unparalleled performances in this critically acclaimed motion picture based on the international best-selling novel. Filmed amidst the spectacular scenery of Prince Edward Island, Canada, this award-winning movie follows the enchanting life of orphan Anne Shirley, from her struggles as an adolescent to her triumphs as a young woman, a delicate epic full of wit, style, and emotional power.
Thank you very much.
That's funny. It said it was filmed in Prince Edward Island, but it was actually filmed all over Canada. A lot of it was filmed in Ontario. Even parts of it were on the opposite end of the country in British Columbia. So,
wow. You're on the ball with all that knowledge.
Speaking of technical stuff.
Nice segue.
Anne of Green Gables was actually debuted on television in 1985. It was a total of 199 minutes long, all the parts together. Epic. It was, yeah, one of those... TV epic specials. Anyway, it was directed by Kevin Sullivan, who was also producer and writer for the screen adaption, and stars Megan Follows, Colleen Dewhurst, and Richard Farnsworth, as Christy eloquently already said.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
And before we get going, we got several comments via Facebook about doing Anne of Green Gables. So I want to share some of them throughout the roundtable. And I'll start with Jenny H. said, I can't express how excited I am that you're doing this. So thanks, Jen. And also Sarah V. said Gilbert ! Heart. So I'm assuming she likes Gilbert.
Wait, oh, is there 2 exclamation points or 3?
There were 2. I was
okay, so not as many as 3.
No.
So, okay.
I do myself also have fond memories of Gilbert.
Oh,
really?
You know what? Maybe that's where we'll start.
I thought he was kind of a jerk. But anyway,
I kind of thought that too. but let's not digress there. Let's start with vivid memories. When I first asked you guys, let's do Anne of Green Gables, what came to your mind?
Christy can go first. Ladies first.
I remember we're talking about fond memories.
Most vivid. Like, most you hear vivid. Anne of Green Gables and this pops into your head.
The part where Gilbert calls her carrots.
Mm-hmm.
The Lady of Shalott, where she's in the boat. Spoilers when Matthew dies.
Don't worry, Alice gave us the spoiler alert.
Just little blips. They were like little blips in my brain. I think I remembered most of it watching it, but those are the ones that, yeah, just like that. Those are the ones that pop into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert, that was one that popped into my head.
Mm-hmm. Paul, and did you share any of those or have a different one?
No, because I had watched it when I was young and mm-hmm. haven't really watched it that much. I watched it a couple times. I don't remember how old,
mm-hmm.
but it's been such a long time.
Yeah,
the only memory that I've had was basically the boy, the Anne and the boy she liked. I didn't remember his name was Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
but called the nickname for her was Carrots because she had red hair.
Oh, and that's why you commented that in the Facebook.
Yeah, that jerk is commenting on Facebook.
Yeah, that definitely was a vivid memory. I forget if that stuck out or not, but the thing that actually impacted me the most was Matthew dying, who sort of was her Anne's surrogate dad, for those who may not have seen the movie. In which case, I'm not sure why you're listening, because this would probably bore you to tears.
Oh!
But yeah, that so Anne of Green Gables, I could not remember how it's essentially 3 movies, I believe. I think I've only seen the first 2 because the last one came out in 2000 and I didn't realize one came out that late in the game.
I've seen all 3.
Wow, okay.
Well, there you go.
But I had only seen the first 2 and I could not remember if Matthew had died in the first one or the second one. So I kept throughout the whole movie, I'm like worrying, oh, is he going to die at the end? Is he going to die in this one? I hope not, but that is a vivid memory I have. So I hope it's not one of those false vivid memories that I tend to have. But so that was my most vivid memory. And also for whatever reason, this is very odd. I remember the oil lamp, hurricane lamp, someone holding it. And I actually don't think that was in this one. So that might have been in the next one.
I was going to ask you, do you have any vivid memories about this movie that actually wasn't in the movie? But you answered it.
Yes, exactly.
Right. We should have a new segment. It's just Francisco's vivid memories of things that actually did not happen.
I'll get Alice to come up with the sound clip for that because that seems to happen nearly every time.
I love it. It's probably one of my favorite parts of the show.
Speaking of favorite parts, Paul, let's start with you for favorite things about the movie and how they compared to rewatching it. Though you said you didn't really remember much of the movie, so maybe
The general idea that it was more of a grown-ups really appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fine for a kid, you know, for the afternoon. It's one of those longer things to get through. It wasn't you know that boring per mm-hmm. se, but I don't really have any standout memories besides Carrots being the nickname.
Mm-hmm. And so, how did that compare to watching it again? Was it still just like, okay, I'll get through this for the sake of the show?
Well, I was blown away because as an adult, you appreciate a lot of the dialogue and a lot of the stuff that's in there that you don't as a younger person. And
Totally.
So I was really intrigued as an adult watching it.
Mm-hmm. Christy, how about you? Did you have a similar experience? Like, did you, you obviously had several vivid memories, so I assume you had some favorite things that you remembered from watching it as a kid.
Favorite things? I think her and Diana, they're bosom buddies, kindred spirits. Me and my best friend, I've known her, how long have I known her now? 20 years? Since we were six.
Did you think it was weird? I'm sorry to interrupt, but the whole bosom buddies things, I wanted to jump on that. Did you find it strange that she wanted a kindred spirit, but at least, I haven't read the books, but at least in the movie, they weren't, like, Anne was always the adventurous and the other girl was like kind of quiet and like, oh no, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Like they didn't seem to be cut from the same cloth. So why were they kindred spirits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't think about that.
Why does that mean you can't be a kindred spirit?
No, it's the way that Anne was describing it. Is it was like they would basically have these ventures with each other and know what each other is thinking and be kind of like Francisco said, cut from the same cloth. And it's not, they're like, now as great of a friends as they were, it seemed like Anne had just made up her mind. You know what? She's going to be my bosom buddy, my best friend. And it doesn't matter what kind of personality she is. And we're best friends. And you know, that's a lot more like life sometimes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with everything you're saying, but.
Well, that's fine. That's all right. That's fine.
I know it's fine. That's why I said it. I loved it. I loved their relationship because, I don't know, even if they were very different, I thought it was still.
Okay, so you do agree that they are very different.
Oh, yeah. My Deanna and I are incredibly different, but we still called each other bosom buddies and kindred spirits. And I still think that it could work. Yes, they're very different people. But if you look at her life and how nobody ever actually paid attention to her or gave her a chance to have a relationship and always assumed who she was, Diana was the first person who didn't. So, of course, you would attach yourself to that person quite readily.
And I think there's also an element of, they both had qualities that the other didn't have. Like, for instance, Diana was probably this girl that, grew up as part of a family, loved her whole life, and had sort of this very strong familial relationship all through her life, whereas Anne was an orphan and didn't have that at all. And at the same time, Anne, like you were saying, had this adventuresome spirit and an imagination. And Diana didn't really have much of that. So I think that's probably why they
clicked so well.
Thank you. I was gonna say synergize, but I think that's probably awful to say it that way.
So one was strong where the other one was weak.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like sweet and sour. They go well together.
Yeah. Or orange chicken.
Anyway, so another one of my favorite memories was her and Gilbert, because I remember the second movie a lot too. Nice.
Okay.
I got distracted by Paul's antics.
Why are you talking about the second movie?
I'm not talking about the second movie. I'm talking about that I remember the line of the relationship not isolated in just this first movie. I liked it. And I don't know why you guys are calling him a jerk, because guys,
you don't know why?
Okay.
Listen to me.
Finish.
No, this is incredibly important.
Okay.
Guys act like that when they're younger. And she and him, they were both. I was always getting annoyed with her because she, like, there's a boy that likes you, you turd. Why don't you just, like, let down your guard for 5 minutes and realize what he's doing? And he's cute, too. And all the girls want him. And he's picking you, the unlikely. not so pretty. So I connected with her. Like, I'm the unlikely not so pretty girl, and I always wanted a handsome boy to like me, but that didn't happen until a lot later. That's why I liked it. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, Paul, do you have a retort?
Yeah, you find it attractive when a guy reaches over and just yanks your hair and says, calls you names. Not just
not at 30 years old, Paul, but he wasn't 30.
Just tugs ever so slightly, but yanks down on it.
He wasn't old. He was a kid.
No, he wasn't. He old enough to know better is what he was.
A lot of boys are old enough to know better, but they still don't understand the social boundaries and how to express their emotions when they're younger.
Well,
that's you never chased girls on the playground?
Yeah, but I didn't pull. I didn't hurt them physically. There's a line that you just don't cross.
All right.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Paul on that point, but...
So you label him a jerk because he makes a poor decision because he sees a hot girl and reacts?
Yes. Hmm.
Well,
that's nice.
So I don't think
we could talk anymore, Paul. I'm sorry, but I don't believe in labeling somebody like that.
Oh.
I love that we have confrontation on the podcast. It seems to happen when it's Christian, which is awesome. I love that.
Nice.
But I think I'm going to meet you guys in sort of a middle ground.
Yeah, try.
Because I'm the, peacekeeper. So I think Gilbert, and this is actually, I had the same initial memory as you, Paul. I thought he was this jerk that I remember him pulling the hair and calling her names. And then I also had this memory of him like throwing rocks at her. And
sorry.
No, that's okay. And that was, play the false memory sound clip. Because though that happened, it wasn't Gilbert doing that. And I think though he started out that way in a sort of a bully-esque fashion, he quickly, for lack of a better term, repented of that and was very sorrowful and wanted to get back in his good graces and spent so much time throughout the rest of the movie trying to...
Then why did he ignore her at the dance? Because he's a jerk.
Because he's human. Because he's human.
Nope.
He's human. She was mean too.
I'm not done with my middle ground.
All right, go ahead.
She was mean. Why aren't we labeling her as being a jerk?
And actually, that's now.
Oh, she's very mean. She has. Well, her pride gets in the way a lot.
Yes, and I was gonna say, I thought.
I can't handle this. It's too much.
Well, what I was gonna say was, I thought that. I was surprised at myself at not being more annoyed at Anne for her smugness to Gilbert. Like throughout the movie, she's very competitive with him and always wants to better him and seems to be very smug when she does, at least in the first, I want to say 2/3 of the movie. But I was frustrated with her stubbornness in not, just constantly not crushing, but... Apparently you're in agreement with me, Paul. And just totally, I'm trying to think of the word, not forgiving him, essentially, until the very end, which I'm very glad that she did, because I thought that was a great way to resolve the relationship and move it forward. But
it's funny, when he called her carrots at the end, I thought she was going to slap him and walk away. It's like, again? Didn't you learn?
I thought that was a nice little bookending.
But the way she reacted, I was like, all right, that's nice that she was able to grow out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
so was he.
Yeah, they both grew, which was really, really awesome to see that they grew from their childhood into
adulthood. He grew out of from being a jerk?
Yeah.
Because he was.
Paul, I don't think it's fair that you're doing that. Besides, how do you know that girls just desperately want the attention of a guy, a cute guy, and the guy sticks around for years and years and years and years just to try and keep your attention, even when you're a turd to him? He apologized like a billion times.
Yeah.
So he's not a jerk.
It was a jerk move.
Oh, that's completely different to say that you made a jerky choice one time and you were sorry for it versus you are a jerk. One is a label and the other is a mistake.
He kept it for quite a long time.
No, he didn't. No,
he didn't. Paul. He is pretty much right after.
All right.
He apologized and was profusely sorry. We'll
agree to disagree and move on. That's my interpretation. All right. But, you know,
all right. I'm pretty sure you're not interpreting when you watch the character apologize. How can you interpret something so black and white?
I suppose you could say, oh, he's just he felt embarrassed or something, so he's trying to
make up for it
like as an outward gesture, but as the movie progresses, it's very clear that he didn't do it.
Yeah, because that's the underlying Kermit in this movie. Everybody's fake and inauthentic.
You never know.
I do know.
Anyways,
I think that, I guess I should say some of my favorite memories because I haven't touched on that. But Chrissy, did you have any others that you wanted to share?
No, not now.
Okay. I really love the relationship with Anne and Matthew, her male guardian, the older gentleman. And I remembered liking it. And watching it again just totally reaffirmed how much that was an awesome relationship to see. And I just thought it was really, just really nice how sweet they were together and how much he loved her and stood up for her. I mean, just for a quiet guy, I realized he didn't. It was all the more compelling when he stood up for her because it contrasted with his quietness and really showed how much he cared for her. So I really liked that.
Yeah, it was very touching and endearing. A lot of the characters were.
Oh, totally. Who would you say was the most touching and endearing? Paul.
Ooh, too hard.
Christy.
I don't know.
Marilla?
Yeah, actually. Oh, that's perfect. Takes me right to where I wanted to talk about next. So Marilla, I had this memory of her being this really mean woman, at least during the first part of the movie. But I think I had were really confused with the very first woman you see as the mom. I forget what what the name was of that character, but in the very beginning of the movie, and is helping take care of this one family and kids with twins, and the mother of that family is just really horrible to her and really mean and sends her back to the orphanage, which turns out for the good. But I thought it was just, I was confusing Marilla, I think, with her. Marilla was cold to begin with, but I really loved her character. I thought she was really funny and really engaging to watch. So
yeah,
I would agree with that, except for I think that I'd have to say, I'd have to say Anne was pretty endearing. I was actually surprised at myself at how much it seemed like a lot of the things she did I would normally be very annoyed by and get really frustrated by, but somehow Megan Follows just really pulled it off, and really her performance made me just like Anne more and more and more and more and more the more I watched it.
Yeah. Now it's funny because my wife watched it with me. Mm-hmm. She read the books, loves the books. Her favorite book series.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. But she read the books before watching the movie and mm-hmm. didn't like it as much because of the images that she had in her head.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And me, who never read the books, I was like, oh my gosh, Megan Follows is awesome mm-hmm. in this role. It's like she's born to play. And my wife's like, I kind of disagree with that.
Did she have a different person that she would like to have seen play?
Not in the person she imagines in her head, not in anyone in particular, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, it's kind of interesting. If you haven't read the book, she highly recommends doing so if you like this movie.
Oh, okay, cool. So go out, people. Watch the movie, then read the book. That way you won't be disappointed.
That's what I say.
That's what I say, too. I had down Anne's positive spirit, which it was really amazing to me. And I think something that I wish I could be better about, facing all these trials and situations over and over again. She certainly sort of crashes each time, but she picks herself back up really quickly after each trial, which I find very inspiring.
She definitely lives in the moment, mm-hmm. even as melodramatic as she is.
Yeah, yeah.
To a fault, probably.
With that, let's talk about some of our things that we wish we could forget. Christy, let's go ahead and start with you. Is there anything about Anne of Green Gables that just didn't click for you and you wish wasn't in the movie or you wish you could just forget about?
The beginning with that lady with all the twins that was mean to her.
Well, I mean, I feel like that really contrasts with the home she goes to, but what about that in particular makes you wish you could forget it?
I just didn't like the way the mother was treating her children.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or not treating her children. I also, of course, didn't like that Matthew dies, but I think that I thought the scene was okay. I don't really want to forget it because that's integral to the rest of the stories, mm-hmm. but not much.
Okay. And actually, to touch on that real quick, I thought it was really interesting how Anne seemed really outwardly torn up about the husband in the beginning dying, the husband of that mean wife.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She was pretty much fine with it. After, from what I could tell. But then Matthew dying really was, she didn't seem as outwardly upset, but inwardly you could tell her sorrow was a lot deeper. So I really appreciated that contrast too. There's a lot of, throughout the whole movie, I kept picking up on these sort of contrasting parts of how you've seen the character grow and gone through the same situations in different ways. So I thought that was cool.
I didn't notice that. I'll have to rewatch it, look for that. But as you say that, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Paul? Anything you wish you could forget?
No, like you said, I think everything was building towards the story, you know, helped mm-hmm. make her the character she was, drove her character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the only thing I wish I could forget was I wish I could not have this sort of taint of Marilla being this mean woman and having this confusion with the original person. I'm sure if I watched it a lot more, that would go away. But
well, I could wish different characters were different, you know, not be so mean. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it was that way for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. At this point, I want to bring in some more of our feedback that we got from our awesome Facebook friends. Sarah B, I was about to say her last name.
It's your cousin, right?
So Sarah, my cousin, said, I always, 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 always have accidentally... Whoa, I was reading that wrong. Let me start again. I always, always, always have remembered when Anne and her neighbor friend accidentally got drunk on Blackberry wine.
Yeah.
They were so goofy. It was my favorite part. My mother thought I had terrible taste to admit that was my favorite scene. I always said back, well, their mothers were terrible to them afterwards. It was just a mistake. I mean, really, what's wrong with getting a little goofy? I don't know why I'm saying it that way. That was me saying that. Anyways, she finishes by saying, funny now, but when 8-year-old Sarah said it, apparently it was not so funny. Sad face. Well, it's okay, Sarah. You can think that's funny. It was a little funny watching Diana get drunk like really quickly.
Yeah. I thought that part was hilarious. I always loved that part.
I thought that part was funny too, but I still don't get how you can confuse... current wine with... I mean, I have no idea if current wine's really sweet or not. I guess I'd have to assume it is, but otherwise, how'd you get that confused with cordial?
Why are we assuming that these are intelligent, like, well-educated girls when it comes to what's in
if
the pantry?
They've never had alcohol.
Anne got the Avery Award, so she's pretty smart. Though I guess she didn't drink. She wasn't the one drinking.
Well, am I remembering wrong? What's Anne's friend's name? Diana? Didn't she say she's had it before and Anne said she hadn't?
Oh, yeah. That's another good point.
Did you not listen to her? This tastes different. It doesn't taste anything like current.
Oh, see, see.
This doesn't taste anything like raspberry cordial. But the idea is silly enough. If you keep drinking it because you like it and it's mm-hmm. making you feel funny, so you keep drinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good point. Except Anne didn't get drunk. Sorry, Sarah.
Did she say Anne got drunk? I thought she said
the girls.
Oh, the girls. Yeah, it was just Diana, not Anne. What do you guys think about Diana's mom's reaction, though? At that point, Diana and Anne had been friends for a year plus, and I felt really surprised that her mom would all of a sudden just be like that quick to turn around on Anne. I would imagine if I have any relationship with my daughter, which I certainly hope to have in the future, I would know her friends and sort of get to know them and have them over. And
you guys, it's very stereotypical from one swing to the other. It's not really midline road.
Everything in this movie is pretty extreme.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way. I suppose so.
Everybody makes assumptions. You get it at the beginning of the movie about Anne and her red hair and the fact that she's an orphan. It's this giant label on her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure it was in the back of Diana's mom's mind. Mm-hmm. The girl with the red hair, the orphan this, the orphan that, whatever. This really strange girl that drags my daughter out to do things. And
yeah.
And so she just came to the assumption that, of course, she did made her do something bad. I think that a lot of their reactions, for example, Gilbert pulling her hair and her reaction, a lot of it was way over the top, but that's what was fun about it.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Paul.
No, I agree.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm going to have to agree with you guys because it is a movie and a story and certainly not real life, but...
Even as a story, you wouldn't want that extreme?
Well, I was about to say, I thought Anne's extremes were perfect for her character, but other characters, I did not think
their extremes were.
You don't think Anne's extremes were perfect for her character?
Yeah, for the inside the movie, but if you pulled everything outside of context and made it into real life, it would be really, I'd be like smacking her across the face and telling her to chill out.
Oh my goodness.
Not really, but that's what I would want to do. The world is not about you, so stop acting like it is, drama queen.
That is funny.
Well, which is why that at the beginning they burned her book, because they were trying to stop that.
Oh yeah,
stop what?
Her
thinking, her imagining.
Yeah, because she was always extreme and getting lost into her books and things, and she was always being melodramatic about everything. It's like,
because she didn't have parents to love on her, so she had to get attention somewhere. Have you never seen kids do that?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, and Francisco, for the record, I do think that the mother acted way too strict, but I think they used it after watching the movie. You see how the writer used that as a plot to bring her closer to the family later, mm-hmm. you know, staying over for Christmas and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, you know what? That totally sparked in me. I wanted to touch on, I know Christy has and I have, but Paul, have you read The Hunger Games?
No, I want to wait till the movies come out and then read the books.
Oh, okay. Well, the first one's out, so you could read the first one.
Yeah, but I hear it's a page turner, so that as soon as I'm done with the first one, I'll want to read the second one.
Yes.
I don't want to have to wait that long.
They're a marathon. You can't put them down. They're like, they're a race. It's so frustrating to me. I wanted to rest in between the chapters and in between the books, but I couldn't. And then by the time you get to the end, you just want to toss everything across the room because you're like, I read all this way for nothing.
Yeah. So that I'm waiting for the movies to come out so that I can read them at my own pace.
Okay. Well, I felt like throughout the entire movie, like Anne just keeps getting into some trouble or some scrape of some kind and comes out of it. But it was just interesting to see that constantly happening, and it kept wanting me to keep watching to find out how she's going to get out of this one, how she's going to get out of this one. They kept dovetailing very nicely and kept me engaged the whole movie.
Well, are you revealing what your answer is for the end?
Oh no, I think this movie's trash. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm
despite all that.
Yeah, despite all that. No, totally threw me off. What I was gonna say though was I thought that was very similar. I've only experienced that with the Hunger Games, which is like Christy was saying, it's very much a page turner, and you get to the end of one chapter and it's very much like a potato chip. You have to keep reading another one. You know, all those potato chips you read. Cricket. Yawn, that was perfect. Christy yawning at my jokes. Feeling the love here tonight.
Yeah, it keeps you in your place.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's better than smacking you around and saying, get over it.
Or breaking a slate over my head.
I would never do that in real life.
That's why I said it's better.
Well, good. I'm curious what you guys, this is kind of very much a departure of what we're talking about, but what did you guys think about the music of Anne of Green Gables?
I have very fond memories of it.
Same for you, Paul. I see you nodding.
I thought it was nice, but I don't remember it. I didn't even remember it while watching. So mm-hmm. It didn't stand out to me,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't stand out bad in a bad way either. You know, yeah.
I thought it was. I had forgotten it as a kid, but it felt very much like an old friend I was seeing again or hearing again. Listening to it, I was like, "Oh yeah, this is what this movie sounds like." Oh, that's so nice. Though it did seem a bit repetitive. Though watching a 4-hour movie, I guess how much different music can you have?
And you don't want it all to be different, otherwise it won't be repetitive enough to be remembered.
Yeah, good point. Any other sort of random memories you guys have of Anne of Green Gables?
Memories or new things that you noticed?
Well, preferably memories that you can compare to new things, but it can be new things too. I guess for you, Paul, it'd be mainly new things.
Yeah. I'll let Christy go if she has any.
The Lady of Shalott, that's the reason why I like the Lorena McKennitt song. I even bought yarn that's called The Lady of Shalott. Wow. That looks like the painting that they tagged with the poem. And
sounds depressing. Song.
It is.
But that's the book that she was reading at the beginning?
The poem, yes.
The poem, okay. And I was about to spiral into Lady of Shalott, but okay, cool. Some other things that's okay.
Told you, I'm on meds.
I know you're on meds. Christy, this is probably more applicable to you, but were there any sort of lines that stuck out to you that you had remembered as a kid? For instance, for me, the whole depths of despair and saying that to Marilla totally came back to me. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that so well now that she's saying it again.
No, not lines. I just have memories of emotional responses and connections to the characters. So mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, for whatever reason, I remember that. And I remember Anne with an E. And Anne girl from...
Oh, Anne with an E. That's what my sister always says, because her middle name is Anne.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask where that's coming from, because her name is not Anne.
Is it Annie? It's Anne with an E.
I think Annie is spelled with an I.
Or a Y. Or an E. Is it Anne E, like Wall E, like the hyphen, Anne E?
Yep, just like that.
Annie.
But in the Hebrew, Jehovah is spelled with an I.
Is it?
I don't know. I was quoting Last Crusade.
I know. Okay.
Okay. Back to Anne of Green Gables. I guess the only other thing I want to touch on, two other things. One is really briefly. I thought that Gilbert and Anne's relationship throughout the entire movie, it progressed very naturally. I felt like it was a real relationship. So that was pretty cool. Like, it started off very rocky and then got just in very small steps better and better. So I like that.
Did you think that by the end when he was willing to switch schools with her, like that was way, talk about going the extra mile. That's like going the extra 20 miles. It's like, that seemed like a big switch, like almost out of characters, like how much he's doing that for her. You know what I mean? Did that seem a little off or no?
Well, I think by that point he really had, I mean, I would like to think he had come to terms with, this is really the woman I want to be with, and so I'm going to do things to show that. Though it probably would have been better if he was a little more direct about that, but as much as he had been shut down, I would imagine he wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to reveal his hand too much, but I thought that was... Anyway.
What were you going to say, Christy?
The movie doesn't take place in the 21st century, so why do you think that he should be more direct?
I've seen Kate and Leopold.
That takes place in the 20th century.
No, he's from the...
He's from, but it takes place in the 20th century.
Yeah, but the whole idea is he brings in elements of being very direct and very... Not playing games with a woman.
He was a lord, and that was completely different, or count, or whatever.
I guess that is a little
different. I'm sure your argument is, I'm being Kate Leopold. Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
That's such a... All right.
All right, folks, I don't know what's happened, so...
I just made him crack up, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I guffawed. Ha ha ha. Before I get into my next point, I'm going to read one more, or two more, from our Facebook post. Julie P. said, when I was in the sixth grade, which was... Well, I won't reveal that. My best friend and I read Anne of Green Gables at the same time. When it aired on TV later that same year, well, I guess that sort of reveals it. I roller skated, yes, roller skates, 2 miles to her house to watch it with her. We thought of ourselves as bosom buddies and tried to talk all flowery, and eloquently as Anne did. That's sweet.
Yeah. All right. So far, all the people have commented have been females. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when I told my wife that we're going to be doing the podcast on Anne of Green Gables and if she would like to watch it with me, she basically got really confused and said, why are you covering Anne of Green Gables? That's not your target audience. And I was like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why isn't it our target audience? So, Christy, do you think it's weird that we're covering Anne of Green Gables?
Oh, good question.
I thought it was a little bit weird when it was on the list, but only because I know a lot of girls connected with it for obvious reasons. But no, I know you guys well enough to know that you're open to whatever. Plus, you're married, so why not?
It's okay for men to want to watch Anne of Green Gables as long as they're in touch with their feminine side? Or do you think that
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
No. Okay, I'm not trying to put words in Christy's mouth. I'm sorry. but would you say that this is more towards the female audience and our podcast is more towards the male audience?
I would say the movie is geared and more easily connected with females, but that doesn't mean that guys can't enjoy it as per you guys watching it. I would say the podcast, I would not direct generally towards males. Maybe 5 or 10 years ago I would have, but not now. No, I would say it could easily be 50-50.
Okay.
It's creeping in that direction more and more. So
good.
Yeah.
We want to push to a general audience, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like, if you grew up in the 70s or 80s and watched movies and played video games, this show is for you. Pretty much as simple as that.
I actually think that it's really great that you guys are doing more than just Mario or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or things like that. It made me happy to see that you had put something like Anne of Green Gables down as something to rewind, because then you could open up the podcast or just the thoughts of a lot of other people, as you could see from the response we got on Facebook. Mm. I think that that's really great, because then you have a bunch of extra people listening to the podcast that you may not have had.
Yeah, totally.
So good on you, mate.
So did any guys comment?
Oh, yes. We did have one guy. We had two guys. One of them was you, Ball.
Oh, but, yes.
the other gentleman was Ken B., who happens to be Chrissy's dad.
And Dad!
And he said, was one of those shows the whole family could watch and enjoy together. I think it inspired my young daughters to read the books as well. Red hair will always catch my eye! Exclamation point. did you read the book, hon?
I can't remember. When I was younger and I read books.
That impactful, huh?
Yeah. When I was younger and I read books, I didn't really read them. I skimmed through them, so I don't have a lot of permanent memories of the books that I read.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't until later that I actually realized I could take the time and breathe and enjoy the books. I was so busy trying to get to the end. It's kind of like life lesson number one, enjoy the process. Mm. I didn't enjoy the process of reading the book. My sister, on the other hand, devoured books, and that's her full-time job as a novel writer, is to devour books. Mm. So,
yeah, it's good. High on fiber.
Yes. Mm. Nice.
Nice. Yeah, that was an awesome point to bring up, Paul. Thank you for bringing that up. And my next point doesn't tie to it pretty much at all, but...
Well, I have one more thing to add on that.
Oh, please do.
And this is totally out of the blue. Do you think people could suggest, like on Facebook, any movies or games or whatever that we could review in the future and we would look at it and discuss?
Absolutely. If you guys would like to send us feedback, and this, Paul, we'll be saying this again at the end of the show. So if you miss it now, no worries. You don't have to rewind. You can email the show at feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. And you can also post on our Facebook, well, first like our Facebook page and then post to it, which is facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast.
And you have to like it in order to comment?
I believe so. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
You could also, if you're friends with Paul or I, or Christy even, you could send, if you're already friends with us, you don't necessarily have to like the show page, though I would love it if you did like the show page. But I digress. Yes, please share what movies you would like us to cover. We have a few sort of internal stipulations. For instance, it can't be a movie. You may wonder why we haven't done movies like, for instance, The Princess Bride or Back to the Future, because those seem really obvious. But the issue with those are they're movies that we've seen really recently. And we only try to do movies that we saw as kids. And it's also been a while since we've seen them so that we can sort of list our memories before we rewatch it and then compare them to our memories afterwards. So that's a lot of sort of behind the scenes, fourth wall podcast stuff for you guys. But maybe you'll find it interesting. Does that answer your question though, Paul?
Yes, thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, you bet. I think the last thing I want to touch on, and we probably don't have a lot of time to go into it, but what did you guys think about all the spiritual elements, and actually, to be frank, Christian elements of Anne of Green Gables?
Oh, like when she was praying, like I were to pray, I'd go out in the field and close my eyes and feel the prayer.
I think
that kind
I
of
liked
thing.
That.
I like that too. I think she said she'd have her eyes open, which I also thought
was
awesome.
I don't remember.
There's that. There's a lot of talk about forgiveness. Well, forgiveness was a big theme of it. There's providence, the whole idea of they wanted a boy, but they got a girl, but they were so much better for getting Anne as their girl. And they even say so at the end. And it's so lots of different elements like that.
And when Marilla said it, didn't want anyone thinking we have a heathen.
Oh, yeah.
That part was funny.
But what did you guys think about that? I didn't think it was overly Christian, which was nice. I mean, the three of us are Christians, but that certainly doesn't mean that those are the only movies you watch. But I think it was certainly nice to see those elements in this movie. Thoughts?
I liked it. It made, like my dad said, for a really great family movie to watch together that we didn't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. And I don't really enjoy it when books or movies slap you in the face with it. So I thought this was cute.
Mm-hmm.
Wholesome.
Totally. Oh, totally.
It was an undertone. It was it treated it like it was a given for that time with that period.
Yeah, good
which
point.
It probably was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely in a lot of respects. Because I was there. I know. Mm. I have a time machine, don't you know?
Mm. Now, is it a DeLorean or is it one of those carnival rides with a spin wheel thing on the back?
I was envisioning carnival rides, though. DeLorean would be so much sweeter. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. If you're going to build a time machine, might as well build it with style.
One more digression, since I think I think we kept that pretty brief. Thank you, guys. Paul, did you? If you've liked our Facebook page, you've seen that I posted that they have restored the DeLorean from the 1985 Back to the Future movie and is now at the Universal Studios Hollywood lot.
Nice.
So, Paul, I am commissioning you to go and take pictures for our Facebook page as you eye roll.
I love it. Do it.
Oh. See, we had, they have a, right now, buy a year, get a year free.
Uh-huh.
And we did that last year.
Uh-huh.
And this year we got Knott's Berry Farm. It's like, oh, why couldn't have been last year? So, and plus, I think I saw it with my brother back in the day. They used to have it at Universal. Yeah.
I remember going as a really little kid, like when they had the original Battlestar Galactica as part of the train.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing, I have this memory of seeing the DeLorean. Like while we were waiting in line.
Yeah, they had it there. And you know what was also really cool that they used to have there? The Back to the Future ride.
Oh, yeah, I loved that ride.
I know.
Oh,
now, as
my
much
favorite.
As I love the Simpsons ride, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the best, in my opinion, it's the best ride there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that they had to get rid of the Back to the Future one to put that one in there.
I love that one.
I remember being in it with my cousin and we were being silly and trying to order out for pizza on the dial pad. It was just a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just a thing that my cousin and I did. It's not funny to anyone but us.
That's fine. Well, so Back to the Future did come out in 1985, but let's get on to our other 1985 movie, Anne of Green Gables, or get back to it, I should say. To close out, since once again, I forgot to ask you guys what your predictions were of Anne of Green Gables, before we get to the moment of truth, why don't we go through and say if we thought that Anne of Green Gables was going to be a classic or second class. Paul?
Like I said, as a kid, I don't have really that strong memories.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I thought it was going to be boring.
Okay.
So I was going to say second class.
All right. Christy?
I knew all the way that I would love it. So I predicted it would be a classic for me.
Okay. I had warm memories of it. So I sort of expected it to be a classic, but you never know. I mean, I had fond memories of Super Mario Brothers, and if you listened to the last episode, you heard how
I mean,
that
the fact
out.
That we haven't seen it in a while was an indication of like, which way would I go? And I was like, all right, if I haven't seen it in a while, then it's probably.
Yep. Exactly. Not,
so.
Exactly. All right. Well, with that, let's get to the moment of truth, a.k.a. the Retro Rewind Roundtable Review. I always sort of pause there. All right. Christy, let's actually start with you. What is your verdict for Anne of Green Gables? Is it a classic or just second class?
Definitely a classic for me. I would love to show this one to Sophia.
And we sort of had a quite the round robin on what is a classic and second class on our Superman 3 episode, which I suggest going back and listening to that. It's retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP1, the number one. But what makes a classic or second class for you, Christy?
I think that it's a combination of you and Paul. I think that the combination of how you both define it.
Oh,
like
oh,
Paul's
okay.
Paul's idea is that if your friends were over and you'd be like, hey, have you seen Anne of Green Gables? My reaction would be, oh my gosh, you have to see this movie. It's totally one of those where you're sitting around and it's gray and rainy outside and you bring your girlfriends over and you know, a bunch of chocolate and like,
oh my gosh, this is a great rainy day movie.
And you just sort of sit around and just watch movie forever and reminisce about what it's like to be a teenage girl or a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, I think it would be great to go to the library as a little family date and we rent this movie and we bring it back and watch it
mm-hmm.
when Sophia's old enough. I could totally see us doing that. So mm-hmm. it's a combination of both of that. Would I show it to my friends or recommend it to them? Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And would I recommend it to our family or anybody in our family, our kids, or if you hadn't seen it, you, then I would say yes to that. So I guess does that answer your question?
It does indeed.
All right. And it's a classic.
So
it's classic all the way.
From Christy. Paul, how about, what say you?
I say, unfortunately, I was wrong. It is a classic.
nice.
No, it's great. The writing in it is in some ways far superior to any movies that are out today, in my opinion.
Oh,
some of
yeah.
the dialogue.
I'd have
in
to agree
there.
With that.
Yeah, me too.
It is crisp.
Yeah, it even though it is long, yes, you have
a 4-hour chunk, people, if you're gonna sit down and watch this one go.
Carve out the time, but if some people were over that hadn't seen it and we had that chunk, I would definitely recommend it.
Very cool. And you guys probably figured this, but yeah, I would have to agree with both of you. I would say Anne of Green Gables is definitely a classic. It has lots of things from it that I remember vividly, and probably now finally watching it again, I'm going to be wanting to say like Depths of Despair, and I don't know why I would say Anne with an E, but maybe when Christy's sister is over, I'll say that just to tease her. I don't know why I do that, but
you can call her Carrots.
Yeah, I could call her Carrots, except she doesn't have red hair, so I don't know why I would do that.
Because Anne with an E has
there you
Carrots.
Go. Yeah. But like Christy was saying, it's definitely a movie that I would want to share with Sophia. I think she would really enjoy it, and it would be one of those movies that she'd want to share with her kids if she ever has kids. So with that, I have this to play.
Boom.
Boom.
That's awesome.
Yes, that is our unanimous classic sound effect. Thanks to myself, Paul, and my brother, Kitos Ruiz. Well, thank you guys so much for being part of the Retro Rewind podcast. And with that, we're going to get into feedback and announcements. Alice, engage the communication satellite.
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Alrighty, Paul, where can people contact you?
Actually, the best way to contact me is to go to my webpage, pauljpowers.com. And from there, you can link to any social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
Awesome.
And find me on there, and my email's on there, whatever. So that's pauljpowers.com.
Very cool. Oh, check that out. Christy, how about yourself? Where can people contact you if they'd like to get a hold of you?
They can find me on Facebook, Christy Ruiz. They can email the podcast. They can also email me at humblelove@gmail.com, just like it sounds.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So you're the one who got the Humble Love account.
Are you kidding?
No, you are the one, right?
Yeah, but did no, you looked for it?
I think he's
kidding,
huh? Oh, I'm so... Oh, my gosh. Somebody fire me. I quit.
Just a few more minutes, then you can quit. For me, I'm going to share my contact information in a minute, but I am actually have something to promote, and it goes a little like this.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing? Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and auto-exec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory? If you do, then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbcast.com, or find it on iTunes.
That voice sounds familiar. Is that a guest host we had before?
No. This is actually just a podcast I found via another podcast. And it's one that I've been listening to for a while now. It's a really, really awesome podcast for anyone who's ever played PC games from like kind of the era of this that this show covers, the more the 90s, I guess I'd say. But yeah, some of the big show that he covered that I've enjoyed is MechWarrior 2, because I loved that game so much. And Paul, you and I have talked about doing that, but I don't think there's a way that we can really play it these days, so we probably won't be. But
it's all about those floppies, huh?
It's all about the Pentiums, baby.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Just
before
yes.
the Pentiums.
No, actually, MechWarrior 2 was like that was when we had our Pentium. I think it was either Pentium 1 or Pentium 2. 75 megahertz screamer. Yeah.
Were you changing the auto exec back to try to load up the games faster?
I was like pretty good with DOS.
You were using DOS with the Pentium?
Yeah. Well, This is just before we got our Windows 95 installed, which I remember being this like insane night that it never really worked at the end of it. But yeah, anyways. But yeah, definitely go check out the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbpodcast.com. I think I said that right, but I'll have the link in the show note, of course. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter at Francisco X Ruiz or through the site or through the website, retrorewindpodcast.com. Send an email to the show if you'd like to get in touch with me or any of the co-hosts that I've been on. The email again is feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com.
Were you rewinding just then?
I was rewinding, yeah. See, it was onomatopoeical.
Whoa, I don't think that's a word. Wow. My brain has been blown.
If you'd like to make a suggestion for a movie you'd like us to cover, please send us an email there or get on our Facebook page and like us there. If you'd like to support the show, then there's two ways you can do that. Either just tell a friend, hey, check out this podcast called the Retro Rewind Podcast. It's fun. I really enjoy it. I think you would too. And then the second way you could support us is by writing us a review and rating us in iTunes, because the more reviews and ratings we have, the higher we'll show up when people search for things like old movies or retro video games or things like that. So that'd be great. And so that's a way you can show your appreciation. And right now I want to show my appreciation for Paul. Thank you again for being awesome and coming on this show. So great to have you.
A pleasure as always.
And Christy, thank you so much again for guest hosting. You now hold the position for most guest hosting.
But they don't know that.
Who?
Oh, I have done one official other one. There's an unofficial one floating out there.
Oh, yes.
An unofficial podcast.
Are you saving for a rainy day?
Yes, exactly.
That will save for a rainy day. Hey, Paul, we're good, right? We're still friends?
Oh, of course. I don't know. Am I a jerk?
No.
No, the answer is yes.
No, you're not.
and so is Gilbert.
Paul, you know me well enough to know that I wouldn't call people jerks. My friends anyway. There are times when my anger gets the best of me, but that's for another podcast.
Is that
it's all gravy,
with
baby?
Steve Martin.
Now I want some gravy, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Wow,
there you go.
Paul said it. It's his fault.
So yep. I thank you guys for being on the show, and I thank you, our listeners. You guys are awesome for listening to us and putting up with some of our zaniness, but hopefully you enjoy it more than you put up with it. With that, that's a wrap. We will see you next time.
We won't see anybody anywhere, but yeah, we'll hear from you next time.
How would you like to close the show?
All right. Boom, the end.
Bam, done.
Oh my gosh. See you guys next time on the Retro Rewind Podcast.
We're not seeing them.
Listening, fine. Hearing, whatever.
We're not hearing them. Proceed to map point Omega. They're hearing us. To base.
If they send us feedback,
then
we hear from them.
That's not next time.
Hold on. I'm listening to music. Bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam. Oh my gosh. Bam. Bam, 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 bam.
longest outro ever.
It is not. I have heard longer.
Oh, I'm sorry. But let's not be part of that.
It is not that long. Anyways, what were we going to talk about for people that want to
I was going
to
ask
stick
you.
Stick around. Okay, hold on. I'm going to pause and we'll find that out in a second.
Wait, you don't remember Christy?
It's possible I wasn't paying attention.
The truth comes out.
I've been looking at other websites while you guys talk.
All right, hold on one second. All right, so apparently, so here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about why it sounds like an electronic fart.
Paul thinks it is. It doesn't sound like a fart to me. What do your farts sound like, Paul?
What do you think it sounds like, Christy?
Beep, 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 beep.
Farts sound like beep, 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 beep.
No, man, if you want to hear a fake fart noise, I will blow everybody out of the water. I have the best fake fart noises ever.
Ever.
I do. I can be any teenage boy, preteen, whatever. I don't know when they start making fake fart noises.
Wait, this is not what we want to talk about. All right, so here is like a little behind the scenes, what that is supposed to be. So I envision that we're all on a spaceship, like a time machine spaceship, going back in time and watching these movies.
Oh my gosh.
So,
this is kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I guess in a way. Yeah, I guess in a way.
Space in a ship. So we're traveling
Paul's
on a spaceship.
Paul's so frustrated, his voice cracked.
No. Yeah, so those are like engine sounds or combustion sounds of the ship moving, essentially, is what it's supposed
beep,
to be.
And beep, computer beep, sounds beep is a combustion like noise.
And computer sounds.
Oh beep, 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 I'm moving.
It's not Porky
I'm
Pig.
Sorry. I don't agree with this, but okay.
I don't agree with it either, Paul.
What do you guys imagine?
Why are we
I'm
in
curious.
A spaceship? I imagine that I'm
like
sitting on a couch.
I don't know. It just sounds like noise and an electronic is like the closest thing I could come to a robot farting. I don't know.
I think it's hilarious that you thought it was farts, Paul. Yeah, it makes me laugh.
Anyways, okay, well, that listeners, if you decide to stay around for this, I'm partly sorry, but hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of the backstory about why.
You have a question though about your sound of your bumpers. One of them, I forget which one, but it after a while, it sounds like these faint voices that you can't understand.
Oh, yes, yes. That is the round table. That is the round table one. And what that is I took...
ghosts.
Doo-doo.
Hold on. I'm going to play it.
Alert. Alert. Target located. Spoilers.
Incoming. Okay, so that part?
No. Keep going.
I know. I'm going to explain it. Okay. So I took that audio, played it backwards, and that's what this is.
Engaging retro
that
reactor.
Too.
Yes. That part.
It sounds like Asian lady.
Yeah. All that is that first part of perceptible audio, what she's actually saying, what you can understand, played backwards. Because we're reversing. See? In our big spaceship in the sky.
Oh my goodness.
I've given this thought.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you should write a novel about this or something, because I'm just like, whatever, microphone, sitting on a couch, hanging out with my friends. And you're like, no, guys, listen. The story is this. In 2345, we're in a spaceship. Have to go back in time.
Go back. In time. Oh, wait, copyright.
Gotta go back.
In time.
All right. Well, at least now I know.
Yeah, now you know.
I enjoy the electronic farts better.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I was actually agreeing with Paul, but you're welcome. You have fallen victim to my...
Apparently I have.
I know I don't want to just squelch... to your creative process flow.
Yeah.
But this is just a suggestion. You don't have to take it.
Okay.
But you know the point where like it starts to go repeating backwards with the weird voices?
Yes.
Just end it right before that.
Why?
And then
does
it's
it
not
creep
as
you out,
long
Paul?
of a bumper, you know, it cuts the bumper time And it's not like, oh, what's this weird? Oh, I'm bathing in these weird voices.
Dude, that was an awesome face you just made. It was like you were Jabba the Hutt.
You can't see me do it. Never mind. The computer thing is too slow, fast.
And now she's not talking in the microphone, but I think
two turntables and a microphone.
All right, guys, let's end it there. Thank you both. Thank you, listeners, for anyone who stuck with us this long. You are the most awesome. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Not see you later. I know. Bye.